The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 will begin with verse 8, read through verse 14. Don't be in debt to anyone except for the obligation to love each other. Whoever loves another person has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't desire what others have. And any other commandments are all summed up in one word. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't do anything wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what fulfills the law. As you do all this, you know what time it is. The hour has already come for you to awake from your sleep. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. The night is almost over, and the day is near. So let's get rid of the actions that belong to the darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let's behave appropriately as people who live in the day, not in partying and getting drunk, not in sleeping around or obscene behavior, not in fighting and obsession. Instead, dress yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't plan to indulge your selfish desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Are you awake? I know, you're in worship, right? Of course you're awake. But even King Solomon was known to doze off during worship once in a while. So hey, you wouldn't be by yourself. If you happen to nod off during my sermon, I won't take it personally. A guy named Eutychus also fell asleep during preaching, and that was while the Apostle Paul was preaching. If he can't keep a congregation awake, no need to be surprised when it happens to me. But by the way, just a word of warning. Eutychus, who fell asleep, fell out a window when he fell asleep in church. Just saying. And don't even get me started about the comforts of virtual worship. Maybe you are still in your robe and slippers, sitting comfortably on your sofa or recliner with your morning coffee in your hand and the pup in your lap. Nobody sitting next to you in a pew ready to elbow you if your eyes get heavy. Are our virtual worshipers still awake? This morning, some of us may be recovering from Thanksgiving turkey fog, and the sun is rising later these days, so why shouldn't we? Aren't we technically still on Thanksgiving break? It's not just in worship that the Sandman comes calling. Tomorrow, the excuse will be Monday morning. Oh, those pesky Mondays when we are sluggish, pushing the covers back, just as the sun is slow in dispelling the lingering darkness from our side of the globe. We settle in, agreeing with Ebenezer Scrooge. We like the dark. But duty calls. Responsibilities await us. Daily tasks simply won't do themselves. Some of those things matter, while others are monotonous tasks and do little to instill sufficient motivation to get us going. So we roll out of bed, half asleep, half awake, or maybe mostly asleep. Sometimes we don't even realize we're still sleeping. Life has become so routine that we go through the motions without much awareness of what the script holds for that particular day, or of the characters we encounter who usually go unnoticed. Is it a new day, or is it just the same day all over again? Before we have time to figure that all out, darkness seems to be falling again. To some extent, we can understand or identify with this kind of ongoing struggle to wake up and get going, to enter the day with a fullness and awareness and presence of mind. We've all been there on occasion. In this morning's scripture reading, Paul uses this physical struggle to explain the spiritual struggle which we are even more prone to sleep through. He describes a darkness which has the power to lull us into a spiritual sleep. Paul talks about works of darkness, habits and relationships fueled by selfishness, self-indulgence, and the absence of discipline. It is ever so easy to grow drowsy and sluggish beneath the cover of things that blanket our souls. Oh, it begins harmlessly enough. At first, it begins with what may seem to be an innocent security blanket, just a little something to hang on to when we are tired or faced with new situations, something to face our fears and provide comfort when we want to soothe ourselves. But quickly enough, we get wrapped up in ourselves in ways that insulate us from one another. It's not so much that we're given to actual evil as it is that we look for cozy corners that demand little in way of personal investment, things that afford us no challenge, places where we isolate ourselves from others and any responsibility that we may have to them. Soon enough, we drift off into dreamland, a dreamland that is filled only with our own dreams, a place where there is no vision, a place of darkness, a place where we soon enter into a deep and deadening sleep of the soul. So I ask you again, are you awake? Hear Paul's wake-up call. It's time to wake up from your sleep. The night is over and a new day is dawning. It was the prophet Isaiah who described the dawning of this new day, saying, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then the lame will leap like the deer and the tongue of the speechless will sing. Waters will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness." A day that Jesus said had been fulfilled in His coming. Take heed, wake up. Advent is a dawning of a new day. Paul summarizes this new dawning as a day of love and light. He says that we have only one debt to pay, and that is love. It is from this indebtedness that we are to live day in and day out, continually attempting to pay the debt of love to one another. The kind of love that Paul is calling for, the same kind that Christ called for, was not a big, shadowy ought. This is love that, when allowed to govern our relationship, fulfills all the commandments. As Paul cites the commandments, he sums them up, as did Christ, in one word, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. As some have pointed out, it would be a much easier thing to keep a checklist. No, I haven't killed anyone. No, I haven't stolen. Yes, I keep the Sabbath. Than it is to love your neighbor as yourself. This is a wake-up call that rouses us from the darkness of our self-imposed isolation and beckons us into the light of community and connection to others. There's a wake-up call that may sound a bit blaring and unwelcome to us. Face it, when we hear a wake-up call that says we are to love others as we love ourselves, well, it might be easier to just hit the snooze button and stay asleep, at least a little longer. Yet the Advent call rings out. Wake up. What will it take to arouse us from such a sleep and to greet a day of love and light that has come in Christ? I mean, aside from the haunting visits of spirits past and Christmas present and Christmas future, if we can but bring ourselves to rub the sleep from our eyes that has been induced by habits and relationships fueled by selfishness, self-indulgence, and the absence of discipline, perhaps we will wake up to the needs of others around us, fellow characters in a shared script who we encounter day after day, characters who have gone unnoticed, whose needs we have overlooked, or maybe even judge. In this new day, it is a time to let the needs of others wake us up and remind us of the light of the world who has come among us and begin to be bearers of that light in places where darkness and suffering loom. Before we roll over and pull the blankets back up over our eyes, let's take a good look at the other characters in our shared script, fellow passengers to the grave. If we look closely enough, might we begin to see ourselves and our own vulnerabilities in the needs of others? Maybe that's what we're most trying to avoid by ignoring the needs of others. With the beginning of Advent, let us listen to the Apostle Paul, who says, "A new day has dawned. Wake up and dress yourselves in light and in the love of Christ." Advent is a season in which we begin to light a candle instead of cursing the darkness. We light candles in the sanctuary. We string lights on housetops. We light Christmas trees. Paul calls us to go a step farther. Anyone can put lights on a tree. Dress yourself in light. Become in your living a beacon showing the way toward a new day, a day that shines with warm light of mutual respect and courage, suspending the usual ways of doing things and becoming less judgmental and more loving, a day when our better natures will prevail. Thomas More warns us, if you don't have special times in your life that are luminal, that put the ordinary into eclipse, then you're condemned to a dull life of facts and predictability. You have no enchantment, and without the charm of the liminal, your soul goes to sleep. Are you awake? Though the days are short and cold, and though the nights are long and colder, though we've heard the promises of the prophets, the announcements of the angels, the story of the stable and the baby crying, though it is time when our souls are lulled to sleep by familiarity and by commercialism, and though some of us are just not morning people, Advent is no time for sleeping. You might agree with Mr. Scrooge that unbroken rest would be more conducive to our welfare. To this, the Apostle Paul would say, "Bah, humbug, wake up, if not for your welfare, for your reclamation then. Take heed." Amen.